That is basically very, very similar to what I sent to the National Board to be presented this weekend. It's fairly extremely current information, so I thought it would be good to go through it here, if you don't mind. Currently, the station has just under $300,000, $298,000, $724.67 in the bank. We just also were informed that our PPV money is available. That will be an additional $141,143. That will give the station $438,867. I will send you guys all this report because my... You can vouch for me, my printer's there.
Yeah, his printer's wearing out. We need to get him a new printer.
Yeah. We're gonna pay off the national, our debt to the national office, central services, by February. National office advised me, we came to the conclusion that we would hold off and pay it off. By June, we'll pay $100,000. We owe $140,000 at this point. May, we'll pay $100,000. June, we'll pay the final $40,000. That will finally get us clear. Maybe up to date completely. So we do have the funds available to us to cover all costs through the June fund drive.
All right.
We have been incurring some costs that we weren't that we didn't budget, and I mentioned this last board meeting, and I did take your advice into consideration in regards to one of the items, which was a air conditioning unit for telco. Originally, the unit itself was going to cost $40,000 without labor. Then we got it down to $40,000 with labor. Long story short, we finally got it. They basically donated a whole bunch of their services and got it installed for $12,000. So it was basically the spirit of what we talked about last time. Try to get a used one and labor alone would have been like that. So we've got a brand new telco air conditioning unit. So we've got more air conditioning to replace over the next couple of years. And I know in the heat you can relate. Our equipment doesn't do well as in heat, nor do we. So we're going to have to do some major improvements there. And Zuberry Field, our operations director, has put together a cost analysis on that. And we'll be presenting that to you as we go through the budget process soon. And you'll have a good hard look at what we need to do. And we're fairly certain we'll be able to get it done. A recap on our most recent fundraiser. I mean, you guys got the kind of top line last time. I've got a little more information here for you to kind of chew on. The final fund drive pledged amount was $1,047,176. Now, 84% of that has already been fulfilled. When I got here, we were at 77% fulfilled. That's 8,242 pledges that were made. Only of 8,242 pledges. 8,242 pledges. That's a lot of pledges. Mm-hmm. Think out of that, did that almost the entire year in a fund drive. So 8,242 pledges. Only, this is what concerns me, 383 of those pledges did not take a thank you gift. So it's almost exactly 95% of all people took a thank you gift. Yes?
How many of those are these stuff?
Okay, I got this good numbers for you. You're gonna love it. So the number of
questions, please.
What types of additional gifts cost food pledge was 35% So in other words, 35% of all pledges for people who are currently members or listed as sponsors at the time and just made an additional contribution to that thing. 35%. The next level is good. This gives me great hope. New listener sponsors, which is why you go on air and fundraise in the first place. That was 29%. That's go on the right direction. Rejoin people who had actually lapsed, maybe years even, who came back to us. That was 20%. And 16% were people who were renewing on time. So it's 35 additional gifts, 35%, 29% new listeners, 20% rejoined, 16% renewal. Fairly healthy. It's just that we need to flip new listeners and rejoins and keep that going. So I said to the National Board in support that this tells me that the station is relying heavily on current listener sponsors, and that we're going to have to seriously address that. It's going, it's the whole thing, going back to the well. But we have loyal, most loyal listeners I think I've ever run across. The spring fund drive is tentatively scheduled for early June. It's really going to commence towards the latter part of the last week of May. And then we will end it on June 14th, which will also be, and I'm proud to announce that this is occurring in conjunction with the Sister Radio Archives. We're bringing back a 15-hour marathon, Gay Day at KPFK, on June 14th. And we will be launching pretty much a radio experiment. It will be freeform radio, 15 hours, pre-planned, but nothing will be planned to the hour. The day will be planned. Coverage of the West Hollywood Pride Parade will be in the mix. We have an event on May 30th leading up at KPFK where we're inviting families to come and tell their stories. And we're going to capture that sound. That will be used in the cast. We're going to be at the Long Beach Pride Festival about a month prior to the cast, collecting sound there. We have a booth. We'll also be promoting this event. And we will be taking the entire day till midnight, doing special broadcasts throughout the entire day on June 14th. So that's with the Sister Radio Archive and the KPFK team. This is something as, you know, it's kind of an opportunity right now to see how creative radio can be. Because we're going to have interactive online elements as well. In real time, people will be able to, you know, stream us with their iPhone or their BlackBerry, Twitter. We'll be doing call-ins. This great archive material will be on. It's going to be an extremely unique broadcast, and our staff is working pretty collaboratively at this point. Yesterday, we launched the California-wide, statewide newscast collaboration with KPFA and KPFK. Maybe some of you heard it this evening. I thought it was very well done.
I was wondering when that would happen. The KPFA does a very good job.
Mm-hmm. They're doing a really good job of incorporating news out of Los Angeles. And our news team is now contributing to that cast. This is one step towards reinvigorating our news department, bringing back you know, some prestige to the news department that we can recruit some more talented people to join us, more talented volunteers eventually, and we'll be able to hire again. And I can tell you this, I believe it's important. I mean, I think we all agree we might have different ways of, you know, or different desires of how we ultimately program this station, but we all want to reach more people. I think that's certainly what we can all agree on. And one way to reach more people is within drive time to be more competitive. And I think we hold up brilliantly against anything else happening at 6 o'clock in the noon. I challenge, I throw my glove down right now. Please come up with a cast that blows us out of, our cast out of the water, and I can't find one. AM is crap at 6 o'clock. We're just doing the same old nutty right-wing stuff, and or traffic and weather on the 5s or whatever. And then NPR is doing their thing. They do it well. It's way up there in the Ivory Tower, and at KPCC they're doing their best to bring it home to California or to LA, but it's not anything like what we're doing. Quality, localized, really well produced news. And if you haven't heard it yet, please try it out and send it to me. I want to talk a little bit about our ratings, and I'll start the conversation with I understand the concern about Arbitron and its problems, but it is one tool that we have to kind of tell where we might be. And looking through this particular lens, we're not performing well. And I would say that the fact that our fund drives are taking longer to execute, because we need to make $1 million a drive, back this information up a little bit, that we're struggling when it comes to how many people we're reaching. The last three books, and now these books are monthly. They used to be quarterly. We get monthly information. People who are surveyed now receive a device, much like a beeper. Their whole household is allowed to receive a device, so they can tell what the kids are looking for, etc. And they can have this device up to 2 years. Whereas before, it was a random diary, and you got it for 2 weeks, and you may never get one again the rest of your life. So it's just extremely random. Whereas this is a little more like a giant focus group. And we went from 104,000 listeners up to 138,000 listeners in February. So in December, 104, January, 138. 22-day fund drive in February, and we crashed into 98. We lost 40,000 people that month.
Mm-hmm. Sean?
Yes.
Do those numbers reference the total listening audience? In other words, did listenership go up and down during that period, or is it constant?
No, that listenership goes up and down daily.
The total radio, you know, people generally listen less in December anyway, so the fact that you're lower in 1 month is not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of listening habits.
Absolutely. People in the holiday month, this December, there's less listening. Absolutely. So, from January to February, though, you lose 40,000 people. And again, it's a snapshot. It's boom, take a little picture, who is running by, bang, you know, like when it's going through a red light, you know. So this snapshot, it looks like, and it feels like, we lost 40,000 people in February because we had a 22-day long fund. So in fact, to me, it makes sense. Just watch. But this information is at least showing us how things are moving.
Things go back up then after
we haven't gotten March yet.
Okay. And are those aggregate month numbers or average per day? Because they're
month
in February.
That's month.
So do you have the numbers of percentages of the total LA market?
There's 12 million. 12 million, 48,000. 48.
So I guess the question is, what did the LA market do at the same time? Because if the LA market went down in February 2, then you know the question is, what back in the KKP, it was total.
Yeah, February market didn't go down in February. I mean, the LA market did not go down in February.
You have KCCC, the CEO
of the KCCC, the CEO
of the KCCC. So we're going to
finish for now?
Yeah.
Before we...
I'll address that. Number one public radio station in Southern California is
KUSC.
Who used to hover around 280.
Bring back the opera show.
Number two is KUSC, and they're hovering around the same place. They're all near 600,000.
Number two is KUSC.
They would continue to see the RAND Corporation, the Cato Institute, they could very well.
And they're at the 60 FM stations in the Los Angeles market. And those two stations are, you know, somewhere 25 or 22. We're at 58 with our ratings. So we got a lot of work to do and a long way to go. But we need to continue to improve programming, and that's ultimately the point. I think everybody agrees with that. You know, I haven't run into anybody on the local station board or the national board yet that doesn't agree that we need to improve programming. And, you know, there's some people, you know, over the last 9 months that will just say, you know, go full steam ahead, do what you got to do, and, you know, worry about it later. And that's not going to work. You know, we have to build an environment of respect and trust, and transparency is a big buzzword at Pacifica. And the only way we're going to be able to actually move this thing forward, improve programming, is to all agree that we need to do this fairly quickly and that we need to come up with a relatively straightforward process of doing so. So, for the last 9 months, it's been admittedly, and I'm certain that people like Doug who have been with me in Israel, China, Reza, it's been a grueling 9 months of negotiating and compromising and then re-compromising and then not compromising and then going back to the drawing board. All for the sake of trying to come up with a way that we can make programming changes and have oversight and have transparency and buy-in as opposed to just my unilateral decisions and then taking the brunt of frustration. So we actually ended up almost completely full circle. When I got here, I got here in July, by October, I was saying that, you know, I would like to create for myself some sort of listener, you know, group that would assist me in creating different avenues of input. Assist me, much like, you know, Reza with the outreach committee, get people working with him on, you know, creating different avenues of access to the station. Well, we need to do that off of the program. And that includes online surveys, that includes paper surveys, that includes town halls, like on-air town halls, much like a report to the listener, but something devoted to programming. It also includes taking a cross-section of our listeners, trying our best to make sure they don't stack this group with people who are working for a particular agenda, but simply people who are listening to KPFK and have an opinion about what they'd like to hear. It's going to be difficult, but I don't know any other way forward. And so the group that started with, in some areas, you know, wanting to have authority to make programming changes, to now basically developing a concept that I had in the first place, which is the working title, and I'll pass that for you guys to look at in a little bit, is the Listener Programming Advisory Council. An advisory council to me and the program director. When we make the programming change, hopefully, if all went well, the council was involved. They helped to create some input, and we saw eye to eye. It doesn't mean it's always going to be that case. I might come to you and say, and I would come to you anyways to notify the programming changes. I might say that we didn't see eye to eye, but I had to do X and Y, and this is why I did it. If we've done well at forming this group, and we've done well at reaching out to our listeners, and we've made some informed decisions, it's unlikely that I will come to you and say, this group had a finding that was opposite of mine, and I went for it anyway. Instead, it would be, this is kind of what we've all come up with, and this is what we're doing. There are times when I'll be making programming changes, and the group will then have to assess after that. For instance, Gustavo Arellano is on the air, and Roseanne Barr is on the air. You know, those programs, I'd like to have them assessed, as well as all of our programs. So, this needs to be developed and embraced in within a spirit of cooperation and collaboration. And if this isn't embraced, and I don't have this device available to me, this working group, this advisory council, and I really don't know how to report. I really don't know how to change programming without upheaval and without people feeling like they've been left out. So that, I'm going to hand this out and let you guys take a look at it. There's some details here. You can certainly email me with your feedback. This took 9 months to do, so please consider that when you're looking at it. Yes, sir.
You mentioned when you were talking about listenership, what kind of online listenership we have. The stable, is it increasing? Do you know?
Every time we increase the cap, and increases with it.
I went to the room. And in terms of online donations, do we have it set up and do people donate online?
Absolutely.
Do you have any idea?
I don't have the numbers for this last fund drive. I believe it was around $30,000 previous fund drive. I'll double check it. I don't have it. You can email me out to remind me.
And one thing is, if you build that online audience, you can do things like having reportable listeners or other things that are posted up there, so when people go there, they can always hear what you said, no matter when you said it on the air.
9 months, this is all I get.
Less
is more.
You can go by the pound.
We could easily put out 500 pages.
Maybe we want a t-shirt too.
Well, people are leaving.
Yeah.
Oh,
can I ask, so what is going to happen to
CC
Radio News?
Yeah, I spoke with, Nathan Moore. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He's now their admin individual. And he and I spoke pretty candidly, and I assured him that I had every intention of putting it back on its entirety. I just needed to find a place for it. It is still being used significantly in the current hour newscast. And they were thanked profusely. So it's not like they've left the air entirely. They just left in the current capacity or the original capacity. So we'll get it right.
So this could be an opportunity to have a new broadcast.
A what?
A new broadcast.
A new? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're in. I told them about my issue at noon and how I'd like to get new hard news back in there. They can't get it ready. I told them that we would really love to have it ready by then. It's technically ready at 1. But even that, they told me, is not reliable. So you just basically can't rely on it until about 3.
Okay. I actually have a question about that, too. Yeah, I have actually some concerns. There's been some bizarre things occurring with NBC's ratings. I've heard about violations of bylaws, executive authority being exerted, ultra-virulently, and there's also a problem of, it just seems to me like there's a culture inside that organization that, does not reward good news. There's someone like Shannon Young, was instructed that he did some great work in Mexico and in Texas, and you never hear from him.
Right.
And it's like, why not? And we hear other stuff that doesn't really even come close. And why? So.
Yes,
well,
no.
Okay. I'm not aware of their
formally called this meeting to order.
One of the philosophical changes that happened at Pacific in the 90s was the idea that you wanted things to be predictable and consistent, which broke my heart because what I liked about KPFK was the variety and the unexpected.
Consistently unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, I love turning something on and finding something that you wouldn't expect. And it used to be that in the folio, when we had a folio, that they would prepare special things of the sort you're saying. But anyhow, so I was just wondering, a couple of questions related to that. What are the prospects for creating a certain amount of permanently open space on the schedule where you can have the unexpected? And B, what's your thought about the balance between the consistent to develop programming versus the unusual to maintain that sense of possibility?
Well, I think in the National Board report that I made in January, there's a section there where I talk about how we can be really unique in picking our spots. There's a lot of room in between drive time to really experiment. And I kind of have basically offered that as an opportunity or as an option. Drive time, I think we need to be careful of what we do. In the morning, we have some success happening there with funding, with TuneIn. Drive time, since, when KPFK, first aired in 59 and in 69, we follow the decades, things changed from the genesis, as you know, where the car is now almost solely the reason that people use terrestrial radio. That's going to change, though, because we're now using these, and it's going to be audio for everyone. But the radio is really not the person's first choice. It happens to be manufactured and put in the dash. There it is. Okay, well, I'm bored. Boom. That's where it starts. And so, drive time, people have gotten into these patterns, and I don't mean to repeat myself too much, where they're looking for something consistent. They don't want to have to try to look too hard. They find it. It's in drive time. That's when they go home, or that's when they go to work. And it's there, and it's quality. And then they compete. We're not competing with a whole lot. That's the good news. I mean, we can see a resurgence in tune-in drive time quickly because people are looking. Outside of drive time, we have all sorts of flexibility. As much as drive time is expanding, we still have a lot of time in between drive time where we can do freeform radio again, where we can do an e-folio, where we can say, this is what we're doing this month, and we can have blocks like that.
And would the staff support it based on your work?
Staff wouldn't support it necessarily, but some of them might. I don't know. That's a good question. Doug?
I'm not a staff.
Is that relevant?
I have a question about it.
When we talked, it seemed like this could move along, and by the end of the next LSD meeting, you can have this in place. You're going to start doing to promote people to.
I want to recruit listeners to help me. I need help. I mean, I need the actual legitimate cover. I need somebody to cover my back, and I need them to be legitimate.
But do you see this? According to this, there would start to be cuts and so on, etc., and the LSD would actually fit.
Yeah, I think where the LSD at this point fits in is to take a look at it and decide how LSD would like to involve itself. We've offered this kind of option. The LSD would have a hand in it in terms of having a representative on the board, non-voting, on the council, a non-voting member or non-ranking, and then also to help us select. You know, help us select our first batch of interested people. And we can work with the numbers, you know, we have proposed numbers as far as how many people should sit on it. I mean, I'm open to advice on that. I just need to get something going. I've been talking to, you know, Lem about this as well. I mean, we all need something, some working group, exactly, to help us move forward. Otherwise, it's just a political chess game, you know, 24/7.
It would be really nice to have at least one person on there who's not a revolutionary in shape or form, just to provide that point of view.
It might be LSD pretty much this as well.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we all listening and then we all give our input of what we think about programming?
Okay.
We're not supposed to. We're not supposed to.
No. But one of the rules in the bylaws is we're supposed to make sure things are done fairly, collaboratively, and respectfully, but we're not supposed to involve ourselves in the day-to-day micromanaging.
It's a long and
who's going to make fault of what?
It's not going to be candid, though.
But let's be, because I am.
Yeah. This, when you get to this board, maybe you don't intend to politics. But when you get here, you got to. And I need a body that, hopefully, I mean, if they're jaded, that'll say it's impossible, and you're probably right. There's a Hail Mary pass. Let's see if we can get some programming changes. Let's see if I can get a body together that's not going to have anything to do with the politics. Just strictly ears on the prize. What are we listening to? Is that any good?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what do you think? The sonically, does it sound good? Does it meet the services that you're looking for your community? I mean, lots of different parameters. We have all sorts of ideas for how to, you know, assess the program.
What's the program committee?
What's that mean?
The program. We have a PC
committee.
Oversight.
Basically, to evaluate myself and the PD and to make sure that any programming changes we do make fall within the bylaws and...
And the big difference will be that this would just purely be from a listener point of view.
It's like a focus group.
Yeah.
This is like a group of people that I can call advisors. Advisory committee. I can say, it's like when we're talking about Obama. He's got people around him that are just there to tell him whether it's good or bad, not somebody else talking in their ear.
So we should nominate people?
We haven't come across it yet, but sure.
I nominate Lisa Chappelle.
Oh, yeah. I spoke with her. She's great. Doug, last question, Doug?
I rate cats, my mean average cat life is about 1 year. I'm all for churn. If we can churn up everything between the drive hours, I'm all for it. The cat will. But so my question is, the Arbitron's rating is at 58 in our signal area. I understand we're making more for thumb drives than our public radio, than our public television station. How do we rate in terms of taking money from our smoke?
Awesome, this is fantastic, how does that ever, I'm serious, okay, it's remarkable, I'm sometimes scared, but it's loyal, listener loyal, imagine if you had big time listeners and you had a single, he would be stability, my point was we are doing well. No, I'm talking overall. I am talking about you. Okay. Okay. You can all help.
But when did you want to expect to start this rolling?
Yesterday.
Right.
Last.
You got to keep that in mind.
8 months ago.
Yeah. He can get the cart foot on me.
This meeting will now come to order. I want to note that 8 o'clock this meeting is scheduled to start at 7.
Oh, we already did the
time. Yes, we did already do that. Okay, I'm going to take roll on Joyce Adam.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
Jonathan Alexander. Alice L. Aline. Yolanda Angiano, Ms. Condon, and Bill Fuhr here. Colonel Buck.
Here.
Dan Goodman.
Here.
Dan Johnson.
Here.
Yes. Rosina Waller. Jason Lawson.
Present.
John Casey O'Brien.
Here.
Linda Ford.
Here.
Let's couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Nico Ross.
Here.
Linda Sutton. Donald Warren.
Here.
Yoshi Amanato. And Lamont Hughes.
He didn't call my name.
Jonathan Alexander. Well, he said he didn't want to excuse that because COVID was looking for me. Khalid emailed me about an excused absence. Yolanda emailed me.
Margaret and Rosina sent an email earlier today.
Okay, I didn't see it.
So I was making a motion to excuse
both Margaret and Rosina.
I received a call from Linda Sutton saying that she had a conflict with a fire engagement. I don't know whether that's worthy of an excuse or not. I mean, I have to know, you know, that's all I can say. The better agreement was that we would have to say email the entire list. So that would be agreed upon mechanism.
I would ask that only all of you members be seated at the table. Yeah, nobody can hear you over here. Go ahead.
You haven't been able to hear me?
No.
All right, well, pardon. Sure enough, when you're open, sir.
I'll put that.
That's good job. Yeah. I sit here because I can't hear what you said elsewhere.
You're trying to speak up.
Okay, we're going to confuse the people that have to see that the injection.
The ones who eat it.
The ones who eat it. And now we're going to approve. Look over the agenda. So we already have a copy of the agenda. We kind of just threw this agenda together last night.
The program oversight committee, which is the LSD committee, has two motions, and so I think we would like 10 or even 15 minutes. It's both of them in front of everyone on the HIPAA committee, and they're extra to the list.
Okay, you want 10, 15 more minutes?
15 total? Or?
I would say 15 total. And I would also request, if the IED is here, that we add 10 minutes for the IED.
Okay.
We're probably going to
be
able to do it.
Yeah.
You'd
like to ask for 15 minutes for that item?
After the P&D.
We got extra time at the beginning. We can take it from the
Could you add something like it might be in your comments already, but maybe a three minutes or 4 minutes on what is happening with our getting a treasurer and a secretary?
Yeah.
So P&D report is 15 minutes of 4A and IED is 4B, is that right? 10 minutes?
Yeah, that's right. A for the P&D, you want 10 minutes?
No, the P&D by standing rule is 15 minutes.
Okay. And the IED, you want 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of room for two to ask questions tonight.
Yeah, we have a motion if you could add to 3 minutes or 5 minutes to our, you know,
the 10 total?
10 minutes, I'll be here.
You can put an additional 5. That would be 10 minutes.
10 minutes total?
Well, 5 minutes, yeah, 10 minutes total.
I see under new business that we have three motions. I would suggest that two of those three motions are out of order and at least premature. In fact, excuse me. Thank you. Two of those three motions are going to be dealt with at the upcoming P&B meeting, and one of the things coming out of that P&B meeting is a fact-finding motion dealing with collectives, and so this particular motion is premature. We should wait until we hear what comes out of that P&B meeting before we do anything, or else we may have egg on our face. And I would also say that both of those motions would not have made it out of governance last night, had there not been a tragedy in the chair's family. There was a death in the family. And he put out an indicated ruling saying that he would rule them out of order. So I would suggest, yes, when they were brought up before governance. You'll see the top of the page. Excuse me, you'll see the top of the page.
Mr. Chairman, what's the point? The gentleman is asserting facts, not in evidence. There's no indication that the body was supported the chair necessarily. And for him to presume what is in order and not in order.
I'm not doing that. He's out of order because that's not what I'm doing.
The agenda, and he's speaking to the merits of motion.
Do I get to finish my remarks?
I would like to say something. Can I make my comment, please?
Oh, I never got to finish mine.
How many minutes do you need?
You're
only two.
Isn't the item new business? And when we
right.
get to it, we don't even know what it is. We can discuss at that point.
It's appropriate always when you're approving an agenda to bring up your objections right then and there. If you don't, you know, you may lose the right to make the objection. So we're talking about the agenda here.
You argued the opposite on the governor's mantle.
No, I didn't. You were just confused. I apologize that you were confused.
So
I don't know what these items are.
They're right here, Sharon. They're right here. And you see what it says? Motions that were supposed to go before the governance committee.
I don't
think so. Well, I'm sorry. They didn't go before the governance committee. It would be premature to bring them up now because the PNB is going to be dealing with these matters. And I would suggest to this body, let us see what the PNB does, and then we can deal with these motions if it's necessary.
Can we have a copy, please?
Okay, the time to object is when it comes up.
All right, we'll object there.
The argument's already been made, and in the interest of not having to repeat the same argument later in the meeting, may I address the point now?
No.
We'll deal with it when we get there.
I'm just directing my question to the chair. The committee of the PNB and as such has the right to propose motions for consideration by the PNB. So I would think that any motion that members would like the PNB to consider at a meeting would be appropriate to be considered before that meeting by the OSPNB.
Can I address that or should I wait?
Well,
I am presuming there that someone has some knowledge about what's happening at the Berkeley meeting because no agenda has come out on that meeting and I have no clue what's happening there. And neither does anyone else, if they please my knowledge.
Happy to answer it.
Is this going to be like the Sean show all night?
No. She asked a question.
No, I didn't.
No, she made a statement and you keep answering every last statement.
The chair got advice from the parliamentarian.
Yeah. I just want to remind the chair that he is the chair, and all this chatter around here really should stop immediately.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on. We will take this up for the meeting.
Is there a motion to approve it?
Yeah, I move to approve the agenda as amended. Second.
Any objections? Okay, the agenda is approved. Okay, approval of the minutes. We want to take 5 minutes to approve the minutes.
Last name of Larkin.
I don't want to bother to take the time right now to amend them, but the minutes shouldn't include debate or commentary. It's supposed to be a record of the actions taken, so in the future the recording of the questions and answers probably should be added in the appendix.
It's my understanding that the basic minutes need to include motions passed, but I've never read that it limits what can be put in minutes. That often having additional items from the meeting provides a richer sense of what was going on at the meeting. You need a minimum. You don't need commentary, but having more, I've never read it is inappropriate. So I don't think you should strike them. Yes. Sarah.
Okay, I'm not going to have a big debate on this. I'm going to approve the minutes.
Yeah, I think
that you two approve the part.
Yeah, I'm going to approve the minutes.
Any objection?
Okay.
So we're now at standing advisory committee. Okay, you wanted somebody wanted me to add 3 minutes about the.
Can I ask a question about the minutes? Was there an election or approved on the affiliate committee, the national affiliate committee?
Not the last election.
I don't think we're eligible to be a vote committee, are we?
Yes.
Okay, my comments are going to be addressing the Carter Grant, the Secretary, and Treasurer. I have a list here. I was going to bring it up at the Governance Committee last night, but we didn't have a forum for the Governance Committee. So we do have to make a decision on that at the next committee, unless you want to take it away.
I wonder why I approached the Governance Committee. Why wouldn't those come right here and then we vote on it?
We can do that if we want to.
I think that's how it really
works.
It's not up to the Governance Committee for things.
Well, when I said that, I meant I was going to ask a question about what kind of decision that we can accept.
Well, I would recommend that the material to be distributed to all the senior people be invited to be interviewed with the next meeting.
Okay.
That's how we've done it.
I would second the proposal.
Hi, Bruce. This is the proposal. This is really not just a head count. How many people have applied to such tonight? How many for treasurer? So we can have an idea.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Would you mind even reading their names if it's not too many? Just so we get a sense of the night.
Okay, the names of the secretary I have Dominic Young, another secretary for that, for Shani.
Say that again?
For Sadat, S-A-A-D-A-T, F-O-R-O-U-S-H-A-N-I. Peggy Buchel, secretary. Liz Tang, she said only if needed, she applied for treasurer. Violet Venegas for secretary. and then Ron Fogler, the treasurer, who has excellent recommendations there. And
I'd like to apply now.
Okay. The secretary of the district?
Yes.
Okay. I recommend that a full hour be set aside at the LSD meeting for people to review the application and then interview the candidates. There are a lot of people.
I know, I'm saying that's
separate meetings.
Do we have
a form, or could you create a form or file a form that would be, or ask for resumes and a little background so that it will make the interviewing process more efficient and easier?
My intention was when we invite them to the meeting to come with a resume to present themselves with the qualifications.
I would put it to the board whether it would be worth getting an ad hoc committee to find a short list and bring it to the board.
The only question I have, because I generally agree, you have to be nice to see people's resumes if they say I have XYZ qualifications. On the other hand, are we about to tread into this horrible era of employment law and confidentiality? And Jimmy, where do these volunteer positions turn into, oh my God, you discriminate against me because you're paying $100 a month or you're not paying? I just want to make sure we don't. This sounds like a strange hybrid. Like, it's different when we elect internally off the board. We're here. We know each other. People choose to say, yeah, you can do that job. But we're bringing in people from the public again, which is sort of like a quasi-employment, quasi-volunteer. So I'm just throwing that out there. If there are any issues of confidentiality, we're reviewing people's employment history, how this is going to be done. Because I've never done something like this before. So.
Very simple. Why don't we just have them all come and make statements and have an election?
Invite them to the next LSD meeting with their qualifications and have them take 5 minutes to make the presentation. That's
great.
My
opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just going to say, be sure that we all get the same message so that not one person brings a resume and the other says, you didn't tell me. Be sure that it's clear that either optional or mandatory, whatever it is, they all have the same
message. I will make sure they have something to present that is what they're supposed to do.
A uniform message.
Pardon
me? A uniform message.
Excuse me, can we have just LSD members talking?
Yes. I think I've shown it before.
I need to ask Terry and Dave, I think. I'm assuming that we would then vote at LSD, yes? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm looking at
IRB. Right, okay.